The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The fire of your coming, the glory of your presence, will shake the earth and every heart will know. You are Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, the God of Israel, Defender of Zion.
Shalom.
And welcome to Heart of Messiah Radio Broadcast. My name is Steve Weiler, and I'm the lead rabbi of Sheresh David Messianic Synagogues, currently serving in Wesley Chapel, St. Pete, Tampa, and Conexión is our Spanish-speaking congregation, also in Wesley Chapel. Let us begin with prayer. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we love you and praise you and honor you. And worship you, Lord, for this truly is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing, and we're glad in it. And Lord, while we are blessed to live in this country, Lord, there are so many places around the world where there's constant tragedy. And we pray for Israel, and we pray for those in Gaza, and we pray that that war would be able to be stopped. But we also pray that there would be the elimination of Hamas and other terrorist groups that are just trying to hurt us. And so we pray, Lord, for your will to be done. Lord, for your righteousness, for your glory to be all throughout the world. So, Father, minister through this teaching to our hearts, and let us not only learn something, but let us be transformed, because you are a God that wants us to be holy as you are holy. And so we bless you, praise you, and honor you. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Before we get started, just let me invite you to come to one of our congregations and just share our time together worshiping the Lord. You can find out the days and the times of the various congregations by going to our website, Sheresh, Shoresh, David.org. We'd love to see you. We also come to churches. We're doing a number of Passover Seders. We're doing teachings about Israel. So feel free to give us a call. We'd love to come to your Bible study group or just share at your church. And if this program blesses you, we would be blessed to receive a gift for the Heart of Messiah Ministry. It will help pay for our radio bills. So I'd like to this week change gears, and as we read the parasha, remember what that means? That's the portion that is read in synagogues all throughout the world from the Torah. And this week we end in the book of Exodus. We end the book of Exodus, and the last chapter is chapter 40, and we're going to look at verses 34 through 38. And in the last few verses, we see that Moses gets answers to his prayer, which is very exciting, right? He prayed for two things earlier, and we'll look at that as well. God's presence to be with the people of Israel and for Moses to see God's glory. So we also see that in Exodus 29:45, a promise from God that was fulfilled. He promised that I will dwell among B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel, and be their God. So he'll dwell with us. And you'll see as I read later on that that was answered as well. So as we look at these verses, there are many things we can understand and figure out what God wants us to know and experience. But first, let's listen. We're going to go back a little before we get to Exodus 40, to Exodus 33, 14 to 20, and let's listen to this conversation between God and Moses. God starts speaking in verse 14. He says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest," he answered. But then Moses said to God, "If your presence does not go with me, don't let us go up from here. For how would it be known that I or your people have found favor in your sight? Isn't it because you go with us that distinguishes us from all the people on the face of the earth?" See, Moses asked God for assurance that he would be with them because he was aware of the terrible sin committed by Israel when they celebrated a golden calf while Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments. And Moses probably blamed himself and expected God to blame him too because he was the leader of Israel. Now, if Moses would experience God's presence, he would have confidence to continue to lead the people. So Moses knew that without God being with them, they would be defeated. But Moses also knew how other people would react, knowing that the one true God, the God of was with Moses and with Israel, and God would receive the glory from that, and people would know that he was really God. Because the one true God, being with Israel, is really the distinguishing factor of the identity of Israel. Wouldn't you agree? So in verse 17, Adonai answered Moses, "I will also do what you have said, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." God said yes to the prayer of Moses. God said that Moses would find favor. And we don't know specifically why God favored Moses, but I would assume his faith, his faithfulness, his compassion for and empathy for the people of Israel. These are godly characteristics that Moses developed. And then he said, so in verse 18, Moses says, "Please show me your glory." See, the presence wasn't enough, right? And so I believe that these are two things that we too should desire. And so we'll spend our time today talking about God's presence, but mostly about God's glory. So he said, God says, "I will cause all my goodness to pass before you." At the end of the book of Exodus, we read that God truly answered Moses' prayer again, because a couple times he did this. Now, interesting, let's look at this. Moses asks to see God's glory, and God answers, "I will cause all my goodness to pass before you." Now, that's really interesting. So he's equating his goodness with his glory. So with that in mind, let's read chapter 40, verses 34 of Exodus. "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all Israelites during all their travels. What is God's glory? What is God's glory? So here's my thought. In my opinion, right, the glory of God is that totality of goodness which emanates from God's being, that declares the beauty of his character. Okay? Make sense? All right. Have you ever seen a person who is filled with joy and he walks into a room and you sense and almost see a difference in the room, in its atmosphere, in the energy surrounding him? Now, picture God coming into the room with all his positive attributes. There literally is no room for anything else, as his goodness, his love, his joy, his compassion, etc., 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 right? Takes over the space. That's God's glory. That's what the tabernacle was filled with. God can manifest his glory at any time. However, when we surrender ourselves to him through praising him for his glory, his attributes, his being, God's glory can fill the room, and it seems as though nothing else exists. The glory of God is manifested by the total sum of his attributes, distributed in our mind and our heart. So Exodus 33:20 says, God speaking, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." Nobody can view God's incredible splendor without being completely overwhelmed. In the Hebrew scriptures, when God's glory was manifested, there was fire, clouds, earthquake. And then sometimes we read about it where it's not us that sees, that declares the glory, but in Psalm 19, 1 through 4, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard with them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." All of God's creations loudly declare the glory of God because he's the creator. That's part of his glory. That's part of his attribute. In the new covenant, we get a greater understanding of the glory of the Lord. John 1:14, "And the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We looked upon his glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth." So Yeshua is the manifested glory of God. In this example, one description of God's glory was his goodness. Here we see another part of his glory is his grace and truth. And we also saw that God's glory was declaring or being declared by the world. So God's glory is the total of his attributes, those we know about and those we're yet to find out about. In Isaiah 42:8, it says, "I am Adonai, that is my name. My glory I will not give to another, or my praise to graven images." This refers to the totality of God's attributes. When I talk about the deity of Yeshua, I think of this verse, because if God will not give his glory to another, and Yeshua is filled with the glory of God, then in fact, Yeshua must be God in the flesh. Amen? All right. I love the verse in Hebrew 1, verse 3, where it says, "This sun is the radiance of his glory and the imprint of his being, upholding all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Look, it's important to not just study the word glory, but to apply it to our lives. And so we are to understand that all the attributes of God, which is his glory, then after we understand what they are, we are to model them. This gives us very specific attributes to seek in order to have them in our lives. So 1 Corinthians 10:31 says it beautifully. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, to the goodness of God. As we keep looking at these scriptures, we get a clear understanding of how the word glory is used. Everything we do should be for God's glory. No matter what we do, we should emulate God. As an example, we should be filled with goodness, grace, and truth. Those were some of the words we came up with, and we are to create, and all of these are attributes of God. I love Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of Adonai has risen on you. The goodness has come, right? And verse 2, for behold, darkness covers the earth, that's for sure, and deep darkness the peoples. But Adonai will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, kings to the brilliance of your rising. It almost seems like light and glory are used synonymously here. We're to take on that light because our light has come. We're to take on that glory because the glory of the Lord has risen on us. And we're to take on all the attributes of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to accomplish that. You know, Lazarus is in the grave, right? You know the story. And Martha comes to Yeshua and says, hey, he's been dead 4 days. And John, in John 11:40, Yeshua says to her, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Now, what I take that to mean is part of the glory of God, part of these attributes, is God's healing, resurrection, and transformation. That's part of the glory of God. We are to seek the attributes of God. This is why we need the power of God's Spirit working our lives daily, because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You see how it's used? We've sinned, we've fallen short of God's glory. So it means we haven't achieved these attributes yet. We still have a long way to go. Finally, in John 17, verse 20, I pray not on behalf of these only, but also for those who believe in me through their message, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, so also may they be one in us, so the world may believe that you sent me. The glory that you have given to me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them as you love me. God's glory includes the attribute of being in unity. This attribute begins with us being in unity with Yeshua and Yeshua with the Father and unity with all believers. That is perfection. The world will see that and know Yeshua is Messiah and Lord. John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. each attribute has many parts to it. So the attribute of unity will include love. It'll include forgiveness, as an example. That's why in Proverbs 19:11, it says, a person's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. See, it is demonstrating the goodness of God to overlook an offense. How many of you know that we're not able to overlook an offense on our own? We just get madder and madder and whatever happens, right? But it is that godly part of God's glory in us to overlook an offense. We're becoming more like God as we are in unity with God, having love for one another, all the brethren, and overlook an offense. This brings us glory. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Ruach Adonai is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord who is the Spirit. Wow, there's a lot to unpack there. Maybe sometime we'll just look at that verse alone. But by accomplishing God's attributes, our glory will increase. Moses wanted to see God's glory after being assured God's presence would be with him, right? Remember when we said that? So what is the difference between God's presence and his glory? The site called Good Shepherd's Ministry. Not really familiar with them, but I liked it. Presence points to someone being in... Presence points to someone being in your midst as a means to interact, a fellowship, influence, persuade, or reason, or lead, or instruct, or guide you in some way. Glory points to the light, the beauty, or honor that actually distinguishes that person. Right? Because we're talking about now his presence. And in Psalm 139 Jonah tried to escape from God's presence, unsuccessfully, I might add. Though God is omnipresent, we can sense when he's here or we're in his presence and when we're not in his presence. By that, you know, it might be a sensing of God's love. We sense he's doing something. We're part of it. In Psalm 16:11, it says, you made known to me the path of life. Abundance of joys are in your presence. Eternal pleasures at your right hand. When we are in God's presence, we experience a joy that is greater than our own. The people in our world need this joy, don't they? When we have God's joy from being in his presence, difficult circumstances can't take away our joy. Now, don't get confused. God is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. But God also has another type of presence called manifest presence, having to do with his interaction with us. So when Moses spoke to God at the burning bush, that was an example of God's manifest presence. Even though he was all around, there was a specific presence of God in that bush. How do we apply these to ourselves? Well, when applying anything, first recognize the truth, then find a way to bring it to our mind, our heart, our spirit. And that's emphasizing it with truth. And that's God's word, and in prayer and in repetition. Look, Moses was burdened for God's presence and to see God's glory. May you and I do the same. Be burdened for his presence and his glory. No more time. What can I say? Come visit us. I pray that you'll be blessed and want to give a gift to help for our radio bills. And I would just say, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you for your presence and your glory. And I pray that we would grow in our desire to be burdened for that, and to grow in our desire to have a heart like the heart of Messiah. I pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
You are Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, the God of Israel.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.